This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this afternoon. How are you, Keith?
I'm in a good form, Alan. I'm very good. I've had a good week, so to speak. Well, I'd say good. It started off a bit badly Tuesday, and then it got better in the afternoon, but it's good. But, you know, there is a whiff of revolution in the air, Alan, isn't there?
Yes.
And wasn't it Abraham Lincoln who said, government of the people, by the people, for the people? And Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And there was a young man on the Bear roundabout who said, Cronky, why don't you fack off?
Yes.
You know, wise words.
Yes. Wise words.
Very wise words.
Yes. It's for good men to do nothing.
Yes. And I did nothing.
You did nothing.
I did absolutely nothing Friday.
And Damien Harris is here.
Hey.
Hello. The midfield general. You're still in your old house there, Dave.
Yeah.
Still in the old gaff.
Well, there's still a lot of records to
eBay.
And get rid of. So
eBay the lot.
It's going. It is happening.
It is a slow process, mate, because to be honest, it doesn't look any different from the last time I saw you. There hasn't even been one record moved by the look of things.
No, there are gaps. There's gaps appearing. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Have you sold off your Chaz and Dave collection?
First thing I did. There's a lot of money in Chaz and Dave.
Spurs are on the way to win.
I were playing that.
Tottenham's going to do it again. We're recording this, listener, at 2:20 on Sunday, a couple of hours before the League Cup final, featuring our beloved arch enemies, Tottenham Hotspur, and the Emirati human rights deniers, as they've been called on this parish. So we don't know the outcome of that, and nor could we give a shit, to be honest with you. Obviously, we'd prefer it if the Arabs could buy another cup for their solid gold trophy cabinet. And under normal circumstances, we'd back anyone against a bankrolled billionaire's plaything. But not this time.
Well, does it? Because there's a little bit now, and obviously, I would much rather. It's fine with Man City. You can say, well, they just bought it. But it would really piss off Mourinho if they went and won it and he didn't get the credit.
Which is always a bonus.
But obviously, I would rather they didn't.
If Mourinho became available to be Arsenal manager in the near future, would you take him?
No.
I think he is a busted flush now. I mean, they're saying that his Premier League days are over, but there would be someone on the up who might take him. You know,
it's very expensive though, isn't he?
Well, it all depends whether he would like that challenge. If someone like Newcastle said, right, we haven't got any money, but do you want to try? And that, you know, maybe he would want to try that and prove that he can do it. And
I think he would go to a club that says, listen, we've got a transfer budget, but we haven't got your wages as such. I mean, Christ, he's minted, and he's going to walk away with 20 million.
I don't know how much he's going to walk away with, but I think it was somewhat dependent on the Tottenham's league position, as I I've heard, so that if they are higher up the table, his compensation goes up, and if they're further down, one of the reasons why they might have pulled the trigger when they're languishing, although it's not languishing in Tottenham's terms, is it? Seventh is pretty good for them. we are very much languishing. Anyway, we won't be talking about the League Cup final, FYI, we're recording before it. We will be talking about a thriller at the Emirates on Friday, outside the ground, and then the total non-event inside the ground.
Do you know what? If I could have reversed that, I sort of gave you a thumbs up. You're right for 2 o'clock on Sunday, D? And I was like, yeah. If I could have reversed that WhatsApp.
you wish you weren't partaking in the Tuesday Club podcast.
The moment that ball trickled through Bernd Leno's legs, I was wishing I could be anywhere else right now.
Bernd Leno,
I was looking up to see if I could have a colonoscopy at 2 o'clock, so I had a good excuse.
It was the Fulham game.
I'd rather do that.
It was just the Fulham game rewind. It was more or less exactly like for like. It was just absolutely hopeless.
But let's talk about the demo first.
And it was, that's a good positive thing.
There were a lot of goings on in the week. And there was an invitation for yours truly to appear on Peston on ITV.
Wow.
To talk. That's how much football had jumped onto the front pages of the news. In the end, the European Super League collapsed in the afternoon, and they decided to devote their programme to the outcome of the George Floyd murder trial, which I suppose is more important than football. But we record QI in the next door studio to Peston, occasionally pass Peston in the corridor, and we have a little Arsenal chat.
He's an Arsenal fan, isn't he? Yeah,
he's an Arsenal fan. Lives in North London. So it was suddenly on the front pages. There was a lot of talk, and then everyone bottled it and ran for the hills and pretended it wasn't their idea and they didn't mean, honestly, like a load of kids caught shoplifting. No, it was him. Yeah. It was Terry's idea. Oh, we didn't want to nick anything, but we thought if we didn't nick anything, we'd look stupid because we were the only ones not nicking anything and everyone else was nicking things and I just went along for the fun of it. I don't even want to be there. I don't like that shop.
It was
shameful, squirming, wriggling, horrible. Honestly, they should just all resign en masse. I don't care who's there. Honestly, just get out of the club. What an absolute total shit show embarrassment you are. You're worse than what's going on the pitch. And how can that be possible? How can it be worse than what's happening on the pitch? What's happening on the pitch is the worst football Arsenal have ever played in my life. They're stinking the ground out. It's already empty and people are trying to get out.
I mean, it was the most embarrassing thing this club has ever done. There must be, I mean, what got me, there was a little bit with the media. For years, you know, Arsenal fans, you know, all fans of every club have been phoning in and complaining about their owners of the club and they've been brushed off. And now, when it's suddenly the popular opinion is swaying our way, everyone's listening to us. We've been saying for years the Cronkies are horrible, they're bent. Most of their clubs out in America only go to eighth in the position in their leagues. It's just that they're not interested in winning. But now people are suddenly listening. And what was good about that demo, there were so many young people there. And somebody has said to us, what's the point of demonstrating? Well, it tarnishes their brand. They like their brand to be squeaky clean, and
I
it isn't.
I can't stand it. What's the point? It won't change anything. That is not how life works.
Exactly.
There's plenty of point to doing anything. It doesn't matter if you're the only one.
Yeah.
Well, it takes one person to start. I hate all that. It won't change anything. They're not going to sell, so that's that. They'll sell. They'll sell. They might not sell this year. They might not sell next year. But there's no money in this for them. And eventually they'll get out of our club. Eventually they will. And maybe now they realise there aren't billions of pounds or billions of euros in it for them because this scheme, which apparently they've been cooking up for the last 3 or 4 years, has fallen flat on its face at the first hurdle due to the profound, stupid arrogance of the whole thing. I mean, it's the worst idea you've ever heard in your life for a football competition. A league where 15 teams cannot be relegated, are always going to be in it, even if they finish in the bottom 15. So that's, what if the five who are in it for the occasional year, what if they're the top five? You've still got to kick him out and replace him with a... It's the most ludicrous non-starter of an idea I've ever heard in my life. I was actually impressed. Sorry, Keith. I was actually impressed by how angry people were. Mm. And you and I were communicating the day, you're going to go down there. So I think I'm knackered. I'm going to sack it off. I don't really feel like going. Anyway, I'm in my house and I can see the Emirates from where we live up on the hill at Parliament Hill Fields. I'm out there. I can see the Emirates and I can see the helicopter over the Emirates. And I think, this is stirring something. Old, long-dead lefty demonstrator is feeling some stirring in my loins. I've got to get down there. I've got to get down there. Thousands of people are down there. And I feel the same as they do. I'm furious about these tossers who've taken over, who've stolen our club from us. I'm furious about it, just as the United fans are and the Liverpool fans are. Even though Liverpool fans have had great success in recent seasons, they're still not comfortable with this automaton, this greedy billionaire swine who wants to somehow destroy their reputation. So I go down there, and by the time I get there, it's about 7 o'clock, and the police have got the place surrounded and no one can get in. So you could get as far as the bridge just by the armory. Oh. So they're under the arches there was a police cordon. There's a lot of people want to go through. They're not letting anyone through. There's a lot of heated arguments between fans and police officers. It's got a couple of vans there. No, you can't come in. But you could see beyond it, there's nothing I like more now than a red smoke bomb being held aloft. I mean, there's some spectacular photography. And Jay, WizKid producer, was down there early and got some great pictures. Amy Lawrence posted some great pictures online of a real sense of anger and frustration and this can't go on, which we absolutely fully support. And then ASA, the Independent Supporters Association, polled their membership and they found that 98% of their membership... This is nearly as many votes as Putin gets. 98% of their membership were against the ESL. It was a resounding thumbs down. And a few days before, I was in Islington doing something else, and I went in a club shop to get something for the kids, potted around. And I've been going in the club shop all my life. You know, I used to come in from Loughton on the tube just to go to the club shop, just to go and buy a comb from Jack Kelsey in an embossed leather case. And then get back on the underground and go all the way back out to Loughton again. Just that was in the school holidays. That was something to do, was to go there and just look at the stuff. And I'll have an Arsenal notepad. All I can afford. It's the first time in my life I've been in a club shop, which now, as you know, is awash with all kinds of leisure wear and multiple versions of the kits and Cliff Bastin's autobiography and all kinds of other goodies that you can buy. And I didn't want any of it. I mean, first time in my life, I've walked rough. I don't want to give these people anything. Even though in my pocket, I had a refund voucher for 17 quid. I didn't even want to spend that, even though I've already spent it. And they've already got the money.
That'll show him.
Yeah. Man, that'll learn them. I felt so disappointed and enraged and upset because it's going, the greed and the ambition in the wrong direction is going hand in hand with chronic ineptitude on the pitch and then the management of the side. And it sort of was summed up for me, and I know I bang on about it, perhaps I go on about it too much, but by Joe Willock scoring again against Liverpool for Newcastle, another crucial goal for them. He's had two winning goals and two equalising goals, his four goals. Goals that matter, goals at big moments in the game.
Yeah. Mm.
He's getting in and he's getting points for them, winning goals and equalising goals. Got an equaliser against Tottenham, an equaliser against Liverpool. These are huge moments then to keep that club in the division.
Yeah.
And he's really playing a big part. And Steve Bruce loves him because he sees what he's got there. He's got someone who's fast and fit and strong and can get in the box and score. And I thought, I'll have a look at our midfielders and see how they're getting on the goals front. And it is absolutely pitiful. I mean, in the history of Arsenal, when we've had midfield players like Freddie Ljungberg or Rocky Rocastle, Michael Thomas, or you go further back to Brady or Graham Ricks, they'd weigh in with goals. Brian Talbott used to get goals, turn up in the box and get on the end of things. They'd get goals. We have got one goal from open play in the Premier League from a midfielder this season, and that was Ødegaard against Tottenham. One goal from the midfield. I'm not counting Bukayo Saka. He's got about five. I'm talking about Premier League, right?
Yeah.
I'm not counting his goal. He's been playing higher up the pitch. If he was playing in centre mid, he probably would score. Smith Rowe, even Smith Rowe playing at 10, no goals in the Premier League. Danny Ceballos, he looks like he's got a shot on him. He looks like he's got good feet. No goals. Xhaka's got one free kick against Chelsea. Just one free kick all season from him. So we've got two goals from midfield in the Premier League. And we send Willock out on loan. He's knocking in goals for Newcastle. And I put a tweet up yesterday comparing his goals to our players' goals. And someone said to me, but we all know he's not good enough. How have we arrived at this conclusion that Willock's not good enough for Arsenal? He's good enough for Newcastle, but he's not good enough for Arsenal. He's better than what we've got. That's what I can't understand. And if he'd had a season planned in the first team and said, I'm going to back you and could give you 20 games, then he'd be a better player than he was before.
And why? You look at who he's got, the teams he scored against are the teams who are above us. So, you know.
Yes, yeah. Big teams, big goals and big games. You know, West Ham are up there. And he got in and scored with a header there, didn't he? I mean,
it is ridiculous. But I mean, getting back to the demo and stuff. I mean, this Super League. Now, I'm assuming this would be a midweek thing, and we still play in the Premier League. So that means you could end up playing.
Well, that's what they wanted to do, Keith. Right. That's what the Big Six wanted.
Yeah.
They wanted to go off and make billions of pounds playing in their Super League, and then they thought they could come back on a Saturday and play in the Premier League.
So you'd be playing Manchester United, Liverpool.
But they'd be kicked out, mate. They'd be kicked out of the Premier League.
We would,
they'd be kicked out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still going to be in your league. No, you ain't. Yeah. Do one. We're going to invite Celtic and Rangers in your place.
Well, that's that's what they would have done, wouldn't they?
We're going to merge the English League, the Scottish League and the Dutch League, and we're going to have the best league in the world.
But then let's go for argument's sake. Right, if in their minds, then, they thought the Premier League would still be in it. So we'd play Tottenham four times, Manchester United four. Honestly, didn't they realise that the fans would have got bored with that? They were going, well, why do we want to go?
The fans that were bored with it, mate, are the legacy fans, right? The legacy fans. The old twats who will all be dead soon. That means us.
Yeah.
And now, not the global fans who are a new type of people who don't understand football and need it to be more exciting, like the PlayStation. Mm. When you go on the PlayStation, you say, I'll be Arsenal. Who do you want to be? No one says Stoke, do they? They all say they'll be Barcelona. They think it's like that. They think people want a PS5 instead of a season ticket.
There must be some backstory. Who came up with the idea? I mean, they just didn't, honestly. Could it have been a text message? Oh, do you want to be in the Super League? Yeah, well, I'll have some of that, mate. There must have been some legal framework set up, surely. Could it be that basic and stupid?
Yeah, all of that. And then they're told they're going to try and sue the ones who pull out. Oh, let them sue each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
Go on, Dave.
Perez is, I mean, their debt is ridiculous. I would imagine that the lockdown and COVID has accelerated this.
Yes, you would, it has, I'm certain.
You would, I mean, in terms of PR disasters, this has to be possible. I mean, worse than Coke, you know, the Coke thing, all of that. I mean, it's
mate,
just
this is
terrible.
This is up there with Prince Andrew and Emily Maitlis. That's how embarrassing
this
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like doing a
shit massive club. Barcelona and Real Madrid are so wealthy, so well supported, so much money from TV revenue, so much money from Champions League revenue. How are these clubs in debt? They're not managing themselves properly.
Is it true that Barcelona is a billion?
They're a billion pounder. That's what I've heard, yeah. I mean, listen, if they're saying it's the players' wages and the agents, well, then get together and thrash out a thing where money isn't being pouring out the clubs and where everyone is on an equal level.
Yeah, wage cap. Wage cap is the answer.
Well, it's interesting. I always thought
a Champions League club, wage cap. Premier League club, wage cap. Perhaps it'll be the same.
I always found it quite odd the way that the NFL has the draft system. So whoever's lowest in the league gets first choice. Mm. And you always think that's quite odd. That's quite a sort of almost like a socialist sort of, idea. To keep, you know, keep competition going in the NFL. And then, of course, you realise it's just a self-contained little bubble, and that's just to try and keep it interesting. It's not some sort of great, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Egalitarian kind of...
Yes, egalitarian sort of concept. It's, well, we got to give them something for, you know, the Cleveland Browns or whoever's
done it. Well, it's a kind of system of checks and balances, aren't there? So you have to trade players. It's not so much of a transfer market as there is in football, and they don't. Yeah. And they do, as you say, they have the draft system to give clubs who aren't doing so well first pick salary caps, and you know there are ways they try to manage it. But what they absolutely won't allow is someone to set up an American football team and try and get in. Every few years they might have an expansion year, and then they will admit and change things around. They've done that a few times in recent years with baseball.
What's his face? Is it Kraft who owns the Patriots? And someone asked him, would you ever buy an English football team? And he goes, well, no, because there's relegation. They get relegated.
Yeah, relegated. Yeah. Yesterday I had Five Live on. What an afternoon it is. So the goals are going in. Derby County have let in a goal. They're in trouble now. Sheffield Wednesday could be going down today. Southend, if they lose today to Orion, they could go out of the league for the first time in 100. They've been in the league for 100 years. Oh, there's been a goal at Pride Park. And yeah. It's all afternoon. Mm. And I know there are tens of thousands of people in towns all over England chewing their fingernails all the way from Barrow to Southend, thinking, what's going to happen this afternoon? What's going to happen to my club, you know? And that's football. That's the pyramid. That's the league system. That's what we grew up with. You used to get the tables from Shoot magazine with the little bits of card, and you move the little bits of card up and down. And I used to imagine when I was a boy that they all sat at tables in a massive room because they're always going on about the tables. The tables are everything. Where you are in the league is everything. Getting up and down the league, getting promoted. Look at Bournemouth, for God's sake. Bournemouth, when Eddie Howe took over, were nearly going out the wrong end of Division 4. Mm. And he got them all the way to the Premier League. Extraordinary achievement.
Brighton. The ridiculous situation.
Yeah, Brighton as well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the ridiculous situation you could have then in their world. So Arsenal are, say, they're second in the Super League, but our B team, which is now playing in the Premier League, are in the bottom four. Or could go down into the Championship. How does that work? You know, because they're not going to play their best players on a Saturday, are they, against Sheffield United? No, they're going to save them for Thursday or Wednesday night against Barcelona.
How could they be so out of touch?
I know.
Just to think that's what we want.
Because they have any of them been to a game? I mean, this is the thing. It's not, you know, they are not fans.
No, they're not. And I was interested, you know, Gary Neville got a lot of coverage for, he gave a monologue, a really impassioned and angry kind of fans monologue on Sky. But the thing is, for someone like Gary Neville, I mean, he is a United fan as well as one of their best ever defenders. But the thing about him is he's been in every changing room. He's been in all those grounds up and down the country. He's played a lot of teams in the Premier League and also lots of cup ties in the League Cup and the FA Cup. It's been up and down the country. His brother's played for different clubs. So they're part of... These clubs are part of it. And when we think, we've got, you know, stories that we tell about going to Watford or going to Coventry or going to Anfield or getting up on the train and going to Derby or forgetting where you park the car, you know, going to Carrow Road and Portman Road or going down to the Dell in the old days. And I've been to grounds all the way down, I've been all the way down to Plymouth and all the way up to Darlington. I've been to grounds all places in between. These are the names, the towns, the part of this is the culture that we love. This is all we want. European football is a bonus if you qualify. It was always better when it was a knockout. Who have we got? Let's see how we go. You might get knocked out in the first round. You might get a run together. No one's ever enjoyed the group stage of the Champions League. No one wants any more leagues. Would you remember, even when we were privileged to be in the Champions League, how deathly dull it was to go and watch those group games? Mm. The absolute misery of it. And then all that it came down to was, are you going to finish first or second in the group? Because if you finish second, you're going to get your ass handed to you by a European super club that you can't compete with. And that's what happened to us every year, isn't it?
Oh, do you know what, Keith? He would have been good on Peston, wouldn't he?
He would have been great on Peston,
That was
true. I mean,
on the phone going, I know loads about the George Floyd thing. I've been reading about it all the time. I thought, I'm hashtag BLM all day long. I'll take a knee on there for you.
No, I mean, listen, it wasn't the fans who said, we want a Champions League. We want to ditch the Cup Winners' Cup. We want to revamp the Europa League and we want we want it expanded. The fans, we were quite happy the way it was. It was only the club chairman who suddenly, if you're club chairman of Juventus and you get beat by Bromby, That's what, suddenly now I'm not making any more money. Let's change it so we don't get beaten by the Brombies of this world, the Lucrets, you know.
I have to admit, I find Sky taking the moral high ground a little hard to take.
Someone else pointed out that Gary Neville and his mates, they're complaining about, oh, these rich people, they're coming together and they wanted to... What about Salford?
Yeah.
What about the money they pitched into Salford and bought their way up about four leagues?
Yeah.
How's that fair to all the opposition there? So, but it's not all right for that anyway, whatever.
But billionaires, what are they good for? I mean, you know, let's
all
face it.
All they want's another billion. Yeah. You know, they talk, don't they, all the time in the States about the 1%. The 1% have got more money than the 99.9%. They've got so much money, Bezos and Zuckerberg and Musk and all these people. Never mind Cronkier and, you know, and what are they going to do with their billions? What are they going to do now for the common good? What's their plan? How are they going
to get to their spoiled children?
What are they going to do for the poorer areas of the cities? What are they going to do for areas where there's chronic high unemployment or there's a terrible drug problems? What are they going to do about some of the awful housing that people have to live in this land of plenty? Mm. What are they going to do to address that? They've got so much power and wealth that governments are scared of them. Governments are talking about having to get together to try and deal with Amazon and Facebook and Google because they've got so much money. What are they going to do with all that? They're just going to generate more money for themselves.
Well, you think they are the cause of most of the problems, all the billionaires? Why do we have the seas polluted? Oil tankers, plastic in the sea. It's all, you know, the global warming. Most of these people are behind it. And as you say, they tell the governments what to do. You know.
Why did they think? They didn't think for a second, is this going to improve football or not? Because they don't care. So all you hope is they know this is dead in the water. This is never going to happen. And therefore, the money that the current billions that you earn from these monumental television broadcast right deals from Sky and BT Sports and the other channels, and now pitching in the digital streaming services like Amazon, wading in with hundreds of millions. This is a lot of money. And you get a lot of money from fans coming through the gate. You get a lot of money. You've got a lot of money. So you have to cut your cloth, organise yourselves and compete for trophies and forget about tapping into the club and drawing money out. And even if you tried that, there'd be more than a few thousand outside the ground. You're a custodian of a famous old football club. It should never have been allowed to happen. There should have been something enshrined in the laws of the game in this country that said that there could be a limit to foreign investment, there could be a limit to the power of a single owner in a club, that clubs should have some kind of German-style fan involvement to keep them rooted in their local community so that the values of the club reflected the values of the people who went to the ground. And that should be part of the structure of football in our country. And the moment we opened the doors and welcomed in initially Abramovich with that extremely dubious fortune that he accumulated, and there are good documentaries on that subject, and allowed him to buy the Premier League, and then he went on and he bought the European Cup, he's bought multiple FA Cups, and then you allowed Man City to do it. And we've heard too, haven't we, about Ashley trying to do a deal with a Saudi Arabian buyer, and the due diligence. Have you ever heard such a misused phrase as that? They're really... Blind eye. That's what
it came in a big suitcase.
Hang on, we're not quite ready for the takeover because we haven't quite turned enough of a blind eye to your history.
Yeah. Oh, but there's this suitcase full of used notes. That's due diligence.
Do you think? Do you think, as I do, that it was Arsene Wenger leaving Arsenal that has suddenly allowed the wheels to turn and Kroenke had suddenly felt he was able to go and kick out all the small shareholders with an enforced share buyout and take over the club and be the sole owner. And suddenly the one man there who really did understand that the values that you live your life by and you work by are of importance. They are ultimately are what you stand for and what you'd remembered for. Because even if you're a great winner like Wenger, a serial winner, multiple league titles and cups and many other finals and always contesting, even that, he's still, his philosophy and his principle about how you go about playing football, doing the right thing, offering a replay when you've got a dodgy goal, that kind of attitude, still shone through. And that's something that made us proud, and doing things the Arsenal way, doing things the right way, being above board. You've got the most successful manager you've had since Herbert Chapman. You find out he's got his hand in the till, he gets fired.
Yeah.
And now that you feel the deep sense of shame and embarrassment at the people who run the famous football club.
Oh, I mean, yeah. it's just, and there's nobody there now who you feel has got that Arsenal DNA. You know, the Cronkies, they're out in America, so they're not even coming over. Occasionally, they might come over once a year just to walk around the place. But all the other people who are actually physically in that building anymore, there's no real Arsenal in them, you know.
Well, I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, considering where we are in the league. But Edu and Arteta both played under him.
That's true.
And they
yeah.
both, yeah. I think they're both decent.
Oh, they are.
They're both decent people. Oh, and they too. And yeah. That's my one little bit of optimism in terms of within the club, rather than all these other people that were brought in by Gazidis. Mm. Oh, he's, you know, probably on LinkedIn, you know, the football sort of directors section. But yeah, that's my one little bit of hope that those two can maintain some of those values.
But T, well, I don't want to be, you know, because we always do this when we get together, don't we? You raise the flag of hope, and I pour a load of petrol at the bottom of the flagpole.
Yeah,
and chuck a match on it.
Yeah.
You know, how did Jurabjian get into the club? Mm. How did he get in and get a 3-year deal for Willian and a massive deal for Louise and get himself in the director's box? How did he get his claws into Arsenal? He wasn't there when Wenger was there. And Arteta isn't delivering. He's not delivering as a manager. The players are demotivated. He's having public fallouts with his captain. He's loaning out our best young talent who are helping. Willett was man of the match yesterday. Maitland-Niles was man of the match for West Brom the other day. Well, he's going to getting players off Real Madrid on loan. Real Madrid, do you want to be dealing with these people? Why don't you play our kids? Has he really got Arsenal's best interests at heart? He goes publicly and talks about how he's great mates with Per Mertesacker, who runs the academy, and they had a few years together in the first team, and we talk all the time about the academy. That doesn't ring true. Wenger would have loved to have brought people through from the academy, but he didn't see anyone who's good enough. In 20 years, there was Ashley Cole and Jack Wilshere, and that was pretty much it.
Mm.
It's kind of saying what you think ought to be said, but the actions don't follow it. He's not playing our kids enough. He's backing other people's kids. And I don't like this relationship with Jurabjian. What's going to happen next in the transfer market? The agents can get their claws in too easily. I'm with you. I want it to work out for people who have got an Arsenal connection, who've worn the shirt, won cups and trophies for us. And they were on the pitch, you know, Edu especially. It was a class act. He's a magnificent footballer. His yeah. temperament was superb. He was greatly loved by the rest of the squad.
Well, it just makes you think, who are these other characters? I mean, we've seen, you know, they had these three guys they brought in. That quickly fell apart. I mean, you know, these Cronkies, they're meant to be, you know, businessmen, but they've made big mistakes. They brought these guys
no,
in.
I
mean, Christ, if we'd have been there with Stan and they go, I want to get Willian on a 3-year. I mean, listen, he's decent enough, but not a 3-year deal, mate. This is ridiculous, you know.
What do you think about, and I must admit, I would like it, to ask Arsene Wenger to come back in some capacity. It's as a head of in a head of football
oh, that's
role,
a great idea.
As some sort of consultation role, particularly especially when you've got a very young, inexperienced manager, somebody around the place. You're not telling me that Alex Ferguson up at Manchester United has no role whatsoever.
Mm.
That he couldn't get a message through to the coaching staff or to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer if he really felt like you.
I would love that.
You know about yeah. a player. To someone with a moral compass that is second to none, to come back, to be in on those meetings and to say, this, by the way, is a non-starter. The fans will hate it. It's morally bankrupt. I couldn't support it. And Arsenal, instead of joining in, jumping in, saying, oh, but the train is going to leave the station. The train is going to leave the station. Yeah, you can stay on the platform as it's put away and say, you're making a big mistake, by the way. You'll be back.
Yeah, I so wish
And then you can go public
that.
And say, morally, we were invited to join this, but morally, we found it stank.
absolutely stank.
Yeah.
And we decided to side with the other clubs. So there's only five on that train, not Arsenal. Arsenal has always has always behaved correctly, and that's what we pride ourselves on. If there's just it's about having a moral compass and doing what you think is the right thing to do.
And what would have worked with that? What would have worked if Arsenal had said, no, we're staying on the outside, and then when it did collapse, Arsenal could have said, oh no, you're not coming back, you're getting relegated, we stay where we are, Manchester United, Liverpool, Tottenham, you can go down. Yeah. That would have been...
And then we'd
have had an out, we'd had an outside chance of top four.
Yeah, exactly.
They did, honestly, they didn't think that one through, did they?
How can you look at it and say, what is the right thing to do here?
Yeah.
I mean, really, we used to say it all the time for a joke in the pub, what would Arsenal do?
I would love that, because personally I think Arteta deserves another year. I know he's made mistakes. I know there's a lot of things that he's done that you're not so keen on. I feel whoever comes in and turns our club around needs
time.
A long time. Needs 2 or 3 years. And if we get rid of him now, then someone's just got to start again. I've seen there's some good bits. Of course, he's made mistakes. It's his first time as a manager. And I'm sure at the end of the season, he's one of those people that will self-analyse and, oh, you know, and he probably look at it and goes, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have called Aubameyang out or sort of things like that. But I personally, there's been enough good bits in this season, enough flickers of positivity of when we've played well and when we gelled that... For him, you know, as against Slavia Prague, and if Arsene was there overlooking, I would fully support that, and maybe nudging him and someone for Arteta to, you know, speak to.
Just what a voice in the meetings!
Yeah,
what a person to have for Edu and Vinay and whoever else is in these meetings about the forward direction of the club. As a voice of experience and wisdom, is absolutely second to none.
Yeah.
I've never heard him say anything that didn't make complete and total sense. So,
apart from Manuel Almunia, he is a man of great vision and wisdom.
This is a man who would not spend money at that end of the pitch. He would not spend money at that end of the pitch.
Yeah.
He would spend money at the other end of the pitch, at the goal scoring end of the pitch.
On Sonogo.
Look at our goals, though, this season, dude. Alan, don't. Honestly, I know we all want it to work with Arteta, but the direction of travel with a football side is absolutely awful. I agree with you that it's very difficult to turn someone out the door, particularly after this season of all seasons when the grounds have been empty. And it's very difficult to know whether our 7 home defeats, which matches our worst record, it's always in the Premier League. What about all the other seasons? Why do they always say in the Premier League era? Mm. What about all the others? What about before that? I don't understand that. I hate that, actually. Well, I want to know what the records go going further back. But anyway, maybe it's because of the empty ground. But they were racking up the home defeats. Clubs come in every two or 3 weeks who haven't lost to for 20, 30, 40 years at home.
That gets you down, doesn't it?
Taking the 3 points. And you turn the match on, and are we getting the ball in the box and getting shots off? No, we're just going backwards and sideways and backwards and sideways. Yeah. And he tells him we're controlling the game and we had chances and the ref should have given us a pen. And, oh, God, it's pathetic.
Well, that
it's
was a pathetic dire. Shout for a pen, you know, and then we get the bizarre offside thing. I mean, I don't think it was a penalty, but the offside decision to...
No, it was
over.
But I think it was a penalty, because even though I don't like him doing that shithousery, if he had gone down 15 minutes before, he should have had a penalty. And but he wasn't... They didn't whistle for it.
The thing about Ceballos, he got the toe of a boot in the shin. If it wasn't in the pad and it was straight on the shin bone, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot. Whenever you see a player and they're on the turf and they've got their face in the grass, then you know they're faking it. There's something about the face in the grass that says he doesn't want us to see his face.
he's faking injury. And yeah. Even after the pen's been given, you can get up now, mate. Your pen's been given. You can get up now. But you're absolutely right, Keith. The offside against Pepe, really, on the basis of that alone, and I've been in favour of VAR for years, ever since Stefan Onsho punched the ball off the line in Cardiff in the 2001 Cup final.
Yeah.
Although, if you look at the replay, Henri should have passed to Wiltord, but never mind.
Let it go.
Onsho punched it off the line, and also in the World Cup when Lampard's goal went in and wasn't given. There are moments where blindingly obvious errors have been made, and someone needs to step in and say, no, this is a big mistake. Not, this is a close call. This is a out-and-out mistake. Yeah. If it's a close call, it's a close call. You get some, you don't. If it's a chronic error, like he has actually punched that off the line, and by the naked eye, it's impossible to see. But that wasn't even close. He was onside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could see the bodies. If you're level, you're on. His feet were behind the Everton player's feet. His body was level. If you're leaning forward and your momentum's taking you forward and your arm's there for balance, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to have footballers with no arms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the fact that they actually did look for it. You know, that was very suspicious. It's the fact that, hang on a minute, yeah, he's given a penalty, but let's see if we can find something to stop that. That was, honestly, I smell a rat there, But anyway,
and how long do you think that Unai Emery? Looking forward to Thursday.
Yes,
I wouldn't say looking forward to it.
Well, Granit Xhaka 1-on-1 against Richarlison, that went well, and a little bit concerned about.
Oh, I'm very concerned.
Mikel seems to go from game to game, doesn't he? Well, that worked well last week. I'll play that team. Oh, now they've lost. I'll play another team. I could see him throwing it all out and putting Hector Bellerin in and maybe Cedric back in at left back, playing Gabriel.
Surely Cedric has got to be the better option because, I mean, let's God love Xhaka. It's not. Unai's going to go exploit that straight away. That's going to be number one on his team.
If you're one-on-one with Richarlison, you can't win that ball. You've got to try and stop him crossing it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't think like that. He's not a left back. Of course it costs us eventually. It was bound to.
Yeah.
Thursday's massive, and I know we sympathise with the manager in the situation and this COVID season and empty grounds and all the rest of it, but he's done a pretty ropey job, and our football's awful. We can't score any goals. The home form is shocking. The boos will be ringing around the Emirates every home game if there were fans in, and there is a lot riding on this Villarreal tie. There is a huge amount. I would think it's a his future as the manager, really. Because if he can knock Villarreal out over two legs and knock out Unai Emery, who is the absolute specialist of two-leg European football, if he can do that, that'll be an achievement. And then it's a one-off game against Man U or Roma. And we can do these things, right? We can win these. We've been good in finals in the last, FA Cup finals. European finals, our record is atrocious, but... And then if he does that, then, well, he's got himself a 3-year deal, right? If he wins the Europa League and gets us in the Champions League.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you lose a playoff.
It's massive Thursday,
isn't it? It's the biggest. Yeah. And we've got to go over there and
we've got to go and win.
2-0 over there. 3-0 over there.
We have got to go and win because at home we don't know how to approach the game.
I think what happens, contrary to what has happened before where you think we have a slow start, we do have these periods where we've started quite well. We, in the Everton game, we were on the front foot and we were getting in there, and then, but it lasts 10 minutes. And
if we haven't got one shot, we had from Saka.
No, we had that Eddie Nketiah one as well.
Two shots.
I think the problem is because his training is so rigid, you know, passing it back
to
the keeper.
We don't know this.
If the crowd were there, there'd be times when they'd go, no, get it forward. And the players may react to that. But being that it's so soulless there at the moment, for them, in their mind, they are still at London Coney, you know, and that's where they're sort of playing in that way.
Do you know, it's quite a common thing throughout football at the moment. You see it in all games almost. This notion, when we first saw it at the Emirates, we couldn't believe our eyes, that you would take a goal kick from your 6-yard box and you would pass the ball to a lumpen centre half inside your penalty area, and that would be the best option from a goal kick. And I've been watching football for 50 years. I mean, of course, it's only recently you've been allowed to stand inside the penalty area to receive the ball. But under no circumstances, under Bertie Mee or George Graham or Arsene Wenger or probably under Chapman, God knows, would that have been seen to be a good idea? Don't give it to him there. Look higher up the pitch.
Get rid.
Try and get someone on the ball in their half. Get the ball forward into their half more quickly. When we had a goal kick under Graham, Adams and everyone went and stood on the halfway line.
How many times have you seen a corner taken? They take the short corner and it ends up with Bert Leno. And you think, well, how is that? That hasn't worked.
Game's gone, Keith. Game's gone.
That happens frequently in the game. So there's one reason why we're not in the opposition half getting shots off, because we spend a lot of the match trying to pass away up from our own 18-yard box, finding that we can't manage it, getting to around about halfway, turning round, going back again. Right, let's have another go. You want to say to them, you don't have to do this, you know. It's not ice hockey where you can't pass from the end zone to the end zone. You can go long. You can launch it. We've got some rapid players. You can mix it up.
We seem to have stopped doing that, actually, because there was a period when we were getting a lot out of the long ball, sort of down the line to Pepe or Aubameyang. And we seem to have stopped doing that, which is frustrating.
Well, when we have to be a three.
It doesn't have to be a long blind ball, does it? Or you just kick it up and hope for the best. You can't call it a pass.
The way I see it is if you're going to play it out from the back like that, you better be quick about it. It better go like Real Madrid were the other night in their home leg against Liverpool. They were playing it out for it. It was so rapid. Ping, 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 and they're in the Liverpool half. They can do it.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing it, if you can't do it, then you have to change it. You have to try and put a tall player out on the touchline who's good in the air and hit it towards them. When we had Bakary Sagna at right back, nearly all our goal kicks went to Bakary Sagna because he was superb in the air.
Yeah.
And he would win them. And then the ball's in play at halfway. It drives me mad. It is so unremittingly boring and tedious to watch. It's so depressingly dull to see these people. They're paid so much money. The signing of Pepe. Honestly, I was watching Everton. I'm thinking, you know, they sold Iwobi. Whatever you think about Iwobi, they sold Iwobi for 34 to finance buying Pepe. Is he really better than Iwobi? I don't think he is. I think Iwobi could get you 5 or 6 goals and 5 or 6 assists in a season if you played him every week. And he cares about Arsenal. Just the decisions that have been made are so poor. And I'm really fearful now that because his loan Willock and Maitland-Niles out, and they're doing very well because they're very good players, that he might think it's 20 mil each. Leeds United will come in. Wolverhampton Wanderers will come in. Someone will come in. West Ham will come in. West Ham might give us 20 mil for Eddie Nketiah. There's 60 mil. Yeah, and there's 3 21-year-olds who love Arsenal out the door. You can't buy that.
Yeah.
They could have done that with Rocky and Michael Thomas and Paul Merson. They could have done that and gone and perhaps they would have done if they'd had a foreign manager who was enamoured with Spanish talent. But we kept them and we built them into a side. And they finished 6th in 88 and they won the league in 89. It took 3 years to bed them together. But, give the manager time, give him time. You give him time if you feel like there's a plan afoot. If he's saying, listen, I've got these guys, they're quite young, I'm going to supplement them with experience, but this is what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to build a team with an Arsenal nucleus, you know, because they really are spectacularly talented, particularly Saka. But as it is, but I feel like in the summer we're going to lose 3 of them.
I just hope we don't, because I would have thought, as I say, Ferguson or Wenger, if they'd have been in charge with those youngsters, they would have been moulding a team now to go for the Premiership. And
do you remember United? When you think about Darren Fletcher or Phil Neville or Nicky Butt, you don't think of them as outstanding players, as particularly gifted footballers. They're 3 club legends at Manchester United. because they were united through and through, they gave absolutely everything for Alex Ferguson. He could completely rely on them. And if the chips were down in the match, he turned to those three lads and they would prevent defeats. They'd break up play and they'd get the ball to whoever it was they had, you know, at that particular time, whether it was Cristiano Ronaldo or Ryan Giggs or Wayne Rooney or Andre Kanchelskis, or they had a lot of talent. But they'd have these guys in the side who cared about United. And he kept them there because they cared about United, and he trusted them, and they're club legends. And there is a lot to be said for having that in your club. You know, I know they don't particularly have it at Liverpool with this great side they've assembled. Trent is a homegrown player, and they have got two or three coming through now. Curtis Jones is there, but that side of the game, that caring about the shirt and busting the gut and being reliable, seems to be in their side exemplified by Jordan Henderson and James Milner, who you might look on the outside and think, well, they're not as good, are they? As you know, look how gifted Danny Ceballos is. But if you phoned up Jurgen Klopp and said, I'll swap you Danny Ceballos for Jordan Henderson, he'd just put the phone down.
Well, I mean, our youngsters has dragged us over the line at times. I mean, when you bring Willian on, he looks like he's half asleep. You know,
do you think he'll go to America in the summer?
Oh, I hope so.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I'd take.
Do you think Aubameyang might go to America in the summer?
That's an interesting. Well, it all depends with his relationship with Arteta, which doesn't look good at the moment.
That relationship. I don't think that's forgivable the way he treated him. I think you can drop a player, you can fine a player, but to publicly throw him under the bus like that in the North London Derby, really, that's the talk of football beyond our shores. This is one of the top strikers in world football. When I was looking for goals for spot the commentary that later, and I found a goal that he scored against Valencia in the semi-final in the Mestalla. And I don't know if you remember that, but yeah. we were 3-1 up from the first leg and they scored. And that's a big, noisy ground, the Mestalla. I've never had the privilege to go there, but by reputation. And they scored, next goal, and they're ahead in the tie. And the ball gets lumped upfield, and Lacazette challenges for it, and it falls to Aubameyang. He is so fast onto it and lashes it in the net from 20 yards. World class. Stunning. You know, reminds you of all the greats. Shevchenko, Ronaldo, all the great strikers. It's just onto it, two strides, bang, goal. And that's what he had. That's what we had. And now we've got this guy who looks so depressed. I mean, it obviously doesn't look too good at the moment because he's got malaria, but... Even before the malaria, he looked absolutely miserable. He looked like Ian Wright looked during the Bruce Rioch.
Will he play Thursday? I mean, is there any news on that? I don't know. What about Lacazette?
I'm surprised.
I think Lacazette will play. I think Pepe and Bukayo Saka and Smith Rowe. He might like to play Odegaard. If he does, then he's got a decision there about who to drop. And then he's got a decision too about left back.
Well, surely Cedric is the one. I mean, you can't play Granit there. It's not.
Is David Luiz fit?
No, I thought he was out for the rest of the season.
I think
so.
David Luiz is out, yeah.
So is it going to be Holding and Mari? What about this? Oh, mate, I know. I know what you think, Keith. You think the same as me, but they're so depressing to see these goalkeeping errors. I can't even look at it, you know. It's this terrible goalkeeping errors.
Let's go to Pol Pot or Pulis then. then we'll talk about Bert Leno again.
I thought you were going to say let's go to Matty Ryan.
Who's good in the air?
Okay, you're quite right. We'll stop moaning. I look at my audio recording on my screen and I see that is a full hour
of moaning.
And if there's anyone still listening, it'd be a miracle.
I tell you, who put that picture up on Twitter, the one with the Arsenal fans outside the Emirates? Because I downloaded that. I'm going to get that printed up and put on the wall. I think that's a fantastic.
Are you going to get that as a tattoo if we win the Europa League final?
That did cross my mind.
I think that. I think you should commit to that. And I will give money to charity if you say now, Keith.
I couldn't confirm.
How often would you put some money towards charity if Keith agreed now?
No. You ain't going to get me on the old charity thing, mate. No. I ain't a bigger mug.
200 quid.
No, anyway, it was a great photo.
I've been inundated. It's not too strong a word. Yeah. with quizzes. I imagine we're losing listeners. Do you ever watch the Paddy McGuinness show, Take Me Out? You ever watch that? They go 30 women, 30 single women, and a man comes down in the love lift and they all decide whether they want to go on a date with him.
Yes.
And if they don't want to go on a date with him, sometimes at the first look at him, then you can hit a button and a bell goes off and your light goes out and you're out of the game.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Oh.
And sometimes it's hilarious.
Oh, because some poor sod.
They do a little montage of his interests and it might say, I speak fluent French. And you can guarantee you'll hear boo, 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 boo. There's about eight of them drop out because they don't like someone who speaks French. But that is why I imagine this happening amongst our dwindling listenership. After an hour of whinging on about the Europa League, the ownership, the manager, the kids on loan, I now bring you Big Sam or Nigel Farage.
Oh. who's come up with that one?
I've had so many sent to me, and apologies to people who've sent them in. I will try over the coming months as the football becomes more. Well, of course, we might be celebrating winning the Europa League. Who knows? Joe Blanchard has sent me this one. He's been enjoying these. He really enjoyed Ferguson or Hitler. So here we go. Who said this? Was it Sam Allardyce or Nigel Farage? Number one, I squeezed into some very tight black pants and nailed the moonwalk. I've even dressed up as Cheryl Cole.
What? Oh, that's a mental image you don't need.
Big Sam or Nigel Farage?
I'm going Big Sam because I don't want to think of Farage.
Well, I will just go Farage just to be opposite. It sounds like a sort of thing Big Sam would do for
Big Sam. Yeah. Yes. It's Big Sam. It's 1-0, Damien. Number two, I don't listen to music. I don't watch television. I don't read.
Big Sam,
You're going to go Big Sam.
D says Big Sam.
Well, I'm going to go Big Sam on this one as well.
It's Nigel Farage.
No!
Nigel Farage, leader of an influential agitprop political party, doesn't read.
Doesn't read. Yeah.
Doesn't
read. He must have read Mein Kampf. I would have thought that would have been the only book on his. You know.
Well, number three. Whatever my faults, I have some principles.
Ooh.
Farage or Allardyce?
I'm going to go Allardyce.
I'm going to go Allardyce as well.
It's Farage.
Oh, no.
I know the words principles and Farage.
Yeah. I know. That was what got me on that one.
Okay. Number four. He can't take it, can he? He can't take it. Because we've out-tacticked him, outwitted him. He just can't cope. He can tell me all he wants. I don't give a shite.
Oh, that's got to be Sam, isn't it? It's got to be Sam.
And but that was about Wenger, wasn't it?
It must have been, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. That was probably about arson. Yeah. Probably they don't like it up them.
It was Big Sam.
Yeah.
So this next one, Big Sam or Farage? I just say it as I see it. Behave as I do. If people don't like it, they can take a running jump.
Oh, that's Farage all over.
I think that's Big Sam because that's Farage pretends to be a politician. So I'm going to go Big Sam.
It's Farage.
That's
Farage. Number six. There are scientists who will tell you that spirit, because it can't be measured, doesn't exist. Bollocks. It does exist.
It was going so well, wasn't it? Until the bollocks came in. This sounds like wise words, and then
Confucius, Nelson Mandela. Oh no, Big Sam.
Big Sam's got me. Big Sam.
Big Sam.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to do the next one because it's too obviously Big Sam. Number eight, I think, frankly, when it comes to chaos, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Oh. Farage.
I'm going Farage on that one, yeah.
That's Farage. Number nine, if you poke the Russian bear with a stick, he will respond.
Oh.
Farage.
It's got to be Farage too, yeah.
That's Farage. Number 10, the only decisions I'm making at the moment are whether I have tea, coffee, toast or cornflakes in the morning.
I'd go
Big Sam.
Yes, Big Sam, presumably after he's been...
This is in between clubs.
Recently, Sam.
Yeah. Between clubs.
Oh, no, I brought up Craig Shakespeare or William Shakespeare again. Oh, that last was week.
Very... That was hilarious. Very funny.
Okay, here's another one. Redknapp or Trump?
Ooh,
I take it we're going Harry
yes,
and not
Harry
Jamie.
Redknapp. This from Mike Johnson. Okay, who said this? Harry Redknapp or Donald Trump? He's disappeared to Azerbaijan or somewhere ridiculous in the world.
Oh, that's Redknapp or Trump? I'm gonna go Harry on that one.
I reckon Harry Redknapp as well.
That was Harry Redknapp. And he's perhaps talking about Tony Adams then.
I imagine so.
Oh, yeah, he might have been, yeah.
Who said this? I've never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
that's a cool.
I think that's Trump, even though he drinks Coke.
Oh, it is Trump.
Yeah, it is Trump.
I've got no hobbies. A game of golf every now and again, but that's it.
No.
Trump or Redknapp?
Trump, I'd say.
I'd say Trump.
Oh, no, it's Redknapp.
Really? Ah.
He don't speak the English too good.
are we talking about Trump now?
Redknapp or Trump?
Actually, no, probably Trump.
Oh, I'm going to go Harry. He don't speak the English.
It is Harry.
Really?
Yeah. The point is, you can never be too greedy. Redknapp or Trump?
It's got to be Trump, hasn't it? It sounds...
Trump, yeah.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing he'd say. But...
Actually, no, I'm going to go Redknapp. Last minute change, Redknapp.
Oh, that is Trump.
Ah, bollocks.
Okay. I haven't got an old man's brain. I've got a sharp mind, and I enjoy doing what I do. Trump or Redknapp?
I'm going to go Trump.
Yeah, Trump for me.
That's Redknapp.
No! Harry is doing well.
Okay, what about this one? You have a lot of strategies. I have 5 different strategies. I could change at any moment.
Well, that's got to be Trump, that is.
I would say that's got to be Trump.
That is Trump.
Yeah.
This is my favourite one. The concept of shaking hands is absolutely terrible. And statistically, I've been proven right.
I say that's Donald Trump.
Yeah, I can't see Harry saying.
He's a germaphobe, isn't he?
That's Trump.
Yeah.
What about this one? I've got no business acumen whatsoever.
That's Harry, which is a big lie, because he has.
And finally, you know, it really doesn't matter what the media write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass.
Jamie Redknapp. I'm going to go Trump.
That's Trump, yeah. That's Trump, yeah.
While we're on America, Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Has anyone seen it?
I saw the first one, I think.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's an American, Jason Sudeikis, is given the job of a manager of an English football team.
Oh, all right, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it, but...
Owned by Hannah Waddingham.
Yes.
Always been...
A
sight for sore eyes.
Yes. I mean, if anyone said that is, you know, I really like it. It's everything I would normally hate about a television series. And it's actually surprisingly good.
I think it was something on Football Focus, and they had Matt Damon and Mark Wahlberg, and they showed him Club Shields. And they said, what's the first thing that comes to your head? And they showed him West Ham's, and he said, pickup trucks. And I thought, that is so spot on, isn't it, for West Ham? You know, you see their Club Shield, yet an old pickup truck, you know, which is above us at the moment.
So now, email from Joseph Ballantyne. Love the pod. Thanks to all ye involved. You may be glad to know I finally found the time to sit down and tell the tale of my encounter with our favourite bell end, Teddy Sheringham. I must have been about 8 or 10 years old in Selfridges on Oxford Street, and I was walking around with my dad. Look, he said to me, do you recognise that man? I looked up to see a wide-eyed and gormless man half-heartedly thumbing his way through a stack of jeans. He looked vaguely familiar. That's Gus Poyet, said my dad. Is it Poyet or Poyet? Poyet. That's Gus Poyet, said my dad. And so it was. In fact, it was the first famous face I'd ever seen. My hatred for Tottenham was not yet solidified. And due to my dad's wider love of the beautiful game, we decided to say hello. Hello, said Gus warmly with a big smile. He was clearly happy to see us. Suddenly, the mood shifted. You've done, came an aggressive voice. Gus looked sheepishly at the floor and then back up at his accomplice. It was Teddy Sheringham. Without a moment's rest, Sheringham strode straight over to the till and Gus followed closely behind. Sheringham had gathered a bundle of clothes and he slung them all down for the cashier to check through. Gus was looking nervous. Eventually, the total bill came up and Sheringham glared at Gus. Gus mumbled something under his breath. I can only imagine he didn't want to pay for Sheringham's pile of ill-fitting designer gear. This did not go down well. Teddy began remonstrating with Gus loudly.
Wow.
Wow, this is...
Much to the young cashier's concern, Teddy was having kittens. He was red in the face. Eventually, poor Gus, defeated, pulled out his wallet and paid the bill. He even picked up the bags and carried them off.
Oh,
before Sheringham left, he looked over and noticed me watching on. You can fuck off and all, he said.
Oh, no!
And he stormed off.
God, he said that to a young child.
He said it to a child in Selfridges.
He's the school bully, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. And he threatened one of his own players.
Listeners, if you've got any stories about footballers behaving like absolute tossers, but particularly Teddy Sheringham, if you write them down and email them to us, we will believe every word. We will read it out. We won't follow up. We won't make any further inquiries. We won't check.
Yeah.
We'll just read it out and believe it.
Believe it, yes. Well, I tell you, I think he came up with a good tale there. It does sound believable.
I'd like to.
Oh, God, let's somehow track down Gus Poyet. Let's get the backstory on this.
To track down Gus Poyet. Go to Montevideo. Let's go. Let's fly out there.
Yeah. Cut through the jungle.
Tell us about Selfridges. You didn't say anything about Selfridges. That was the worst day of my life.
Don't bring up the Selfridges incident again.
Now, I've had an email here from a friend of the Tuesday Club. Amy Lawrence has been in touch. Amy has come up with a quiz for us.
Ooh.
So we're going to read it out. A quiz entitled Emery or Epicurus in honour of a former great philosopher. Here's hoping it's a great week for Epicurus. We face, of course, Unai Emery's Villarreal side on Thursday night. Question one. I have never desired to please the rabble.
Ooh.
Emery or Epicurus? This is one of those ones where... You have to bear in mind that these are in translation.
Of course. Oh, I'm going to go Epicurus.
Yeah. Epicurus. Yeah.
I'm going to go Unai.
Unai, you think it's Unai? I never desired to please the rabble. It's Epicurus.
No. Okay. Well, then, number two. They invented rabbles back then.
Oh, they must have had a rabble back then.
It's probably a translation of hoi polloi.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Actually, there was probably more rabble back then than there ever was.
Yeah, loads of rabble. Loads of rabble.
Too much rabble.
That's why they had to have strong armed forces.
Right. Okay.
Well, I mean, there was a rabble outside the Emirates, so, considered
Number two. Here we go. What I want is to unite both essences.
Ooh. Yeah. This is poor.
Yeah.
I'm going to go that's Unai talking about attack and defence.
Yes, I'm going to go Unai on this one too.
It is Unai Emery. Oh. He wanted to unite both essences, yeah.
And were those the essences he doth speak of?
Amy hasn't given us any backstory.
If only our club had stumped up for a translator, he might still be manager now, mightn't he?
But, good evening.
His transfers. Oh, my God. Anyway. Number three. I would go to school and have an hour of Latin, maths, history, philosophy, English. Emery or Epicurus?
Oh, it's Epicurus.
I'm going to go Epicurus as well.
Oh, it's Emery.
Emery,
damn. Do you really think that Epicurus was having an hour of English studies?
No, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. What was we thinking?
Yeah.
Very
good point. Yeah.
Now, this is...
If he had said media studies, I might have gone for... Yeah.
Yeah, PHSE.
Yeah, I was off to do a BTEC in... Yeah, anyway.
Number four. Nothing is enough for the man for whom enough is too little.
Well, that sounds very philosophical. It's got to be Epicurus, isn't it? It's very...
It's deep.
It's very deep. I think
it's Unai.
No, it's Epicurus. Nothing is enough for the man for whom enough is too little. To dare is to do.
David Levy.
Number five.
Daniel Levy, sorry.
This is a good... I like this one. Remember, what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for. Remember, what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for.
Well...
Unai Emery or Epicurus?
Well, if that is Unai, you can understand why the team got lost then and team talks, can't you? Because that's thrown me, so it's you'd be scratching, what? What's he talking about? Do I pass back to
Granite,
the
what,
or
did
not?
He, what did he say?
Blacker, do you understand what he's talking about?
I'm going to go Epicurus.
It's got to be Epicurus, isn't it, surely?
Yes, it is Epicurus. How about this one? We already know what nationalism is. When there are problems, people tend to be rooted to defend the inside. We already know what nationalism is. When there are problems, people tend to be rooted to defend the inside.
Epicurus again, surely. I mean,
Epicurus?
And if it is,
My
God.
Well, yeah. It's
a bit deep, isn't it?
Well, he was a philosopher, Keith.
No, I'm talking about Unai then. I mean, I'm saying if it's Unai, that's a bit deep too. I mean, granted, if a philosopher says it's
good.
I'm going
Epicurus.
You're going Epicurus?
I'm going Epicurus, yeah.
That's Unai.
No!
With quite the handle on nationalism there, Unai. Subject, of course, dear to the Spanish heart. The best success for me is not one trophy.
Oh. Epicurus, because they invented the Olympics, didn't they? So I'll go Unai.
Unai said that. The greater the difficulty, the more the glory in overcoming it.
Oh, that's Unai, surely. I would say Unai.
Going Unai.
I'm going to go Epicurus. Just
it is Epicurus.
Yes,
it's Epicurus. That's the more the glory in overcoming it. If you can grow, it's very gratifying. Joy comes from the illusion, the hope, the dream of winning.
Oh, you see, that's what should have been said to the Super League founders, shouldn't it? That kind of, that's... Well, I've got to say Unai, but if it's Epicurus, respect.
Respect to the...
for the,
philosophers, yeah. I'm going to go Unai Emery.
If it's Epicurus respect, let's write that down.
Write it on the group.
That is Unai. That is Unai.
Unai.
Yeah.
That is Unai. And finally, pleasure is the beginning and end of living happily.
Epicurus.
Epicurus, yeah.
That is Epicurus. Thank you, Amy Lawrence.
Thanks, Amy.
You could have come on our podcast and done that yourself, Amy. You didn't have to. Could have done, couldn't she?
Could have done. Always do get welcome. Amy's book, 89, an audio book read by yours truly. That's the second time I said yours truly today, and I don't think I've said it in probably my whole life.
Oh, really? Have you done the...
The audio book. I did the audio book of 89.
Right.
And actually... the film, of course, is a brilliant documentary. Do get that and watch that if you haven't already. I'm sure you have. Yeah. But the book contains, if you haven't read it or listened to it, contains a lot more material and a lot of really good material from the Liverpool side. And also a very moving account from someone who lived near Hillsborough Stadium. Because, of course, the famous 2-0 game was played at the end of the season after it was postponed because of the Hillsborough disaster. So there's some really good stuff in there from the fans' perspective. Mm. The documentary is really about the Arsenal team and the Arsenal manager's perspective, and it's fascinating, particularly if you're an Arsenal fan. But as a sporting occasion, it's sort of extraordinary.
Did you see the Derry City story on BBC Two Tuesday night?
I haven't looked at that yet. Oh, I saw a little bit of it.
It's brilliant. Really, you've got to see it. And because obviously with the Super League thing unfolding, it was perfect timing for it to come on. But anyone who listens to this podcast, you've got to watch it. It's fantastic. It really is. There's just so much stuff in it. And it's amazing. It's just an amazing story. I won't say too much because I don't want to give it away. But you've got to watch it. As a football fan, you've got to watch it. You know?
Yeah, it looked fascinating. Yeah, really amazing. An amazing city, Derry or Londonderry. Derry stroke Londonderry, as they call it Stroke City, I was told when I was there gigging. Or they either call it Stroke City or Legendary, which is my favourite. I'm going to withhold Putin or Pochettino, Pardew or Pol Pot, Keown or Kanye, Moyes or Mao, Roy Keane or Pablo Escobar, Aristotle or Allardyce, Brendan Rodgers or David Brent, Jurgen Klopp or Kierkegaard. Some of these I haven't even read yet. Bergkamp or Bentner. actually, Bergkamp or Bentner, I could do for you because it's quite funny. Okay, many thanks for bringing back the pod last year when lockdown is getting me down. Listening to the Tuesday Club never fails to lift my spirits. Perhaps not this week, Mike. Sorry. you have to shoot to want to score goals, no matter how. Just score that goal. You can't be afraid to miss. Bergkamp or Bentner?
Ooh, I'm going to go Bentner.
It sounds Bentner. It does sound Bentner, yeah.
It's Dennis Bergkamp.
No!
This is
I feel solid now.
That should be on the wall. Yeah. That should be... Arteta should be made to wear a T-shirt with that on it. You have to shoot to want to score goals, no matter how. Dennis Bergkamp. Please, God, Arsenal, please listen to that. People can say the money doesn't really matter, but it does show you how much a club respects you.
Oh, that sounds like Bergkamp trying to get a bit more cash.
I would say Bentner, but there may be that cold Dutch.
Who's colder, the Dutch or the Danish?
Yeah.
It is Bergkamp.
Dennis. Okay.
Whether it's tennis, badminton, football, whatever, I just go out there and think I can do it. And most of the time, I can.
That's Dennis. No, I'm saying that's Bentner because he did think he was God's gift.
Dennis, isn't it?
No, it's Bentner.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
If you ask me if I'm one of the best strikers in the world, I say yes, because I believe it.
Oh, that's Bentner too. That's got to be Bentner, hasn't it?
Dennis.
That's Bender. That's yeah. Bender.
Was it Bender?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was Bender.
Yeah.
Other clubs never came into my thoughts once I knew Arsenal wanted to sign me. Oh, I love that.
That's Dennis.
Yeah, that's Dennis. I wasn't interested in dribbling or doing tricks or scoring goals. Control, that was my thing. With every pass, there needs to be a message or a thought behind it. That was there from very early, in my body and in my mind.
Oh, it's got to be Dennis.
It's Dennis.
That's Dennis. And finally, I've supplemented my Audi A4S with a Range Rover Sport. But strip clubs like Legs 11 and Spearmint Rhino are what seriously loosen my purse strings. It's the done thing when playing in Birmingham.
Oh, gotta be Birmingham.
Only you would come up with something stupid like that.
Okay, do you want a little bit of Spot the Commentary?
Yeah,
before we go our separate ways and watch the League Cup final or not?
Kane is playing.
Of course Kane's playing. Not going to miss that.
He's fit. Yeah.
Wants to try and win a cup before he leaves in the summer. Okay, here we go. See if you can get this goal.
Aguirre. That's a great header on by Fabregas. Van Persie for Arsenal. Adebayor. Yes! It might be the goal that sends Arsenal into the Champions League semi-final.
Well, there's your answer. When you're not having a good game, when it's not going for you, you get a chance and you take it in a huge, huge game for your side.
Is that Villarreal?
It is Villarreal.
I'm going to say 2009.
Yeah.
2009 is right.
Yeah.
1-0,
yeah, Damien.
Well done, Damien. 2009. Yes, Adebayor scored in both legs of a tie against Villarreal, and we knocked them out and went on to a semi-final, which we would all like to watch. Okay. Try this one.
Aubameyang. Gaia's not going to lose too many foot races, I fancy. Aubameyang nicked it away from him, though. Torreira, Lacazette. Turns and scores. That may settle it. Him again. Alexander Lacazette. At the moment, for Arsenal, Alexander the Great.
Valencia in the semi.
Yes.
That's the Valencia, yeah.
Valencia. In the Mestalla, this was the semi-final before we all went well. That was
the game you were talking about earlier, I think, wasn't it?
Sibaku, that's right. Yeah. That is the very game. And they, the pair of them...
They were brilliant.
That night, they were brilliant together. They were brilliant in the first leg.
Yeah.
Absolutely on fire.
Yeah,
and stunning. Then got out to Baku and nothing. Just nothing happened. It was so.
Well, when you think about
a stunning goal by Alex. Well,
Valencia were a good team, you know, a good team. And so we beat them 3-1 in the first leg, and then it was, what was it 4-2 in the second. Yeah. You know,
I mean, they went a little bit, but their finishing in that game, Aubameyang's goal, the first goal, the finish was brilliant. That goal from Laka, it's a brilliant goal. It's a little bit like, you know, in that Liverpool-Newcastle game, I don't know if you saw Mo Salah's goal that equalised. Shot on the turn, like how on earth did he pirouette like that and lash that in the roof of the net? It's unbelievable. You know, we used to play on a PlayStation on FIFA and you'd go up a level.
Yeah.
You'd find yourself on world class.
Yeah,
and for the first few games, things like that kept happening. You get, holy shit, people are really good at this level.
Yeah,
it was like that. But yeah, that was a good win. Good win. And this is what I'm kind of hoping for Thursday night. Okay, final one. It's 1-1. See if you can get this one. This is for the winner.
Back to Henri again. He loves to attack from this kind of area. That's quite clever. Leb across the face of goal. After over 40 minutes of frustration.
Well, I think wouldn't have been the Villarreal. No, because Kleb was playing. So would it be when we played
Atletico?
No, I'm thinking, no, oh, would it be the Villarreal when we played them in the Champions League semi-final?
That
would be the first leg, which would be at home, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That's exactly that. That was the only goal of the time. Henri worked a clever little pass into Hleb, and he got to the byline. And Kolo Touré was in the six-yard box, and it was quite a good finish. He kind of glanced it in from close range, and that was the goal that took us to the final in Paris, although the deciding thing really was that save, wasn't it, Brian?
Lehmann. A penalty save. Fantastic penalty save.
What was that back four again? We had a makeshift back four, didn't we, that got us to the...
Flamini, so wasn't it?
Senderos. Flamini at left back.
Flamini was at left back and Senderos played and Eboué. We didn't let a goal in.
Yeah.
We didn't let a goal in for the whole run. We didn't let a goal in until 15 minutes from the end of the final and it was offside. I'll look up the... I think Ashley Cole might have...
I don't think he did he? Because we had this weird makeshift...
Ashley Cole was injured for quite a lot of that season.
Yeah.
And so was Gael Clichy, and that was why we ended up...
Wenger claimed that, was it one Flamini. Of the Barcelona goals, or both of them were offside in that final? I've never looked at the goals again, so I wouldn't possibly...
Yeah.
One of them was offside.
Well, it was offside. Yeah. God, that makes it worse. I didn't know that.
Yeah, really, really, really hurts.
Still, great day, wasn't it?
We did have a good day, and even in the evening, just for drowning our sorrows wasn't too shabby.
That was funny.
If we'd have won, it would have been, we'd have still probably been there now.
Do you want to do guess the lineup for the first leg of that Champions League semi-final 2006?
Lehmann
in goal, naturally.
The Flame left back.
Yeah.
That's right.
Senderos.
Yep. Senderos. God, he was.
Eboué and Kolo Touré.
That's it. That was the back four that got through all those games without conceding.
Incredible.
And Sol Campbell and Ashley Cole came back for the final.
Yeah.
Midfield.
Fabregas.
It's a hell of a midfield.
Hleb.
Perez.
Robert Perez.
And Gilberto Silva.
Gilberto Silva is correct.
Yeah. Thierry Henry.
And then playing in a kind of, it was a little bit five-man midfield, playing as a kind of number 10 role.
Was it Perkin?
No. I don't think Dennis played, did he? Was Dennis...
It was Freddie Ljungberg.
Freddie Ljungberg
in that run played quite a lot of games centrally. He wanted to supplement midfield because Fabregas wasn't the physical powerhouse of he replaced Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
So that was, we started to go five across the middle. Henri wasn't really suited to being a sole striker, but he didn't do too badly. But he did more running, of course, and he said that he thought that was why he didn't get that second goal in the final in Paris. But interestingly, we brought on two subs in the 80th minute. No, the two subs that came on, and this tells you something about where we were. Dennis Bergkamp and Robin van Persie.
God.
two footballers of the year.
Wow.
Two of the greatest players of of our modern history. So that was the team, and they had Riquelme, who was their famous player, and also Diego Forlan,
who missed the penalty, didn't he, Riquelme?
Riquelme, it was a feeble pen.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? God, that was pen. A big put through the ringer. That was,
but you know, if you go the right way, you might save it.
Alan Davis.
There you go.
The philosopher Alan Davis.
So we are on the cusp of, we should definitely knock this on the head, that's quite long enough. We're on the cusp of a European semi-final. It's exciting times at the Arsenal, a massive trophy on offer, playing one of the Spanish giants. You must be thrilled to be an Arsenal fan at the moment.
Well, fingers crossed, eh? Come on, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I hope so. I really, it would be great. It would be great to give them some confidence.
Yeah.
All right, gents.
All the best.
Let's get them. All right, see you later.